Hello, listeners. It is yours truly, Avi Becker, and this is the first ever episode of the Central Coast Podcast with Avi Becker, and I just really wanted to thank you guys for tuning in and taking a little time out of your day to check this out, and I hope you enjoy it. No guarantees, but basically, before we dive into the first episode, I just wanted to give a little background of my story for those of you who don't know me or don't know me super well. So I'm originally from Boulder, Colorado, born and raised there for my first 18 years, and I moved out to Santa Barbara for UCSB, 4 years of college, and I kind of came out here and I felt like right at home right away, and I realized that it wasn't just the ocean, it wasn't just the amazing landscape, the mountains, the surfing, of course, it wasn't just those things that made me feel this way, and it was really the people. So the point of this podcast is to try to highlight the people that are doing amazing work, both in their business and environmentally and in the community. So that's what this show is going to be. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be coming out, on what kind of schedule, but I really hope you enjoy this first episode, and I would love to hear feedback. So without further ado, enjoy. Welcome to all 10 of our listeners, if we're lucky, to the Central Coast Podcast. I'm your host, Avi Becker. This is going to be a really cool episode, and I just want to thank everyone who's tuning in to this very first ever episode of hopefully a series of many. My first guest on the show is none other than the man himself, Joe Parker. Joe is a Santa Barbara native, and I've actually known him for, I'm going to try to think, it might be like 2 or 2.5 years.
Right.
Me and Joe met initially. I worked at a fitness spot called Killer Bee Fitness, and he was one of my clients, probably my favorite client. He always busted it and went hard, and we just became friends instantly. And me and Joe have actually been working together recently. He's one of the top producing agents in Santa Barbara, and he's been crushing real estate for years now. But more than real estate, he's just become the community guy that knows how to bring people together, that knows how to help when disasters happen, like recently in Montecito. He did a lot of work, and he's just a really cool overall guy, and I think you guys are going to really like his story. So how are we doing today, Joe?
I'm doing good. Avi, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Another day in Santa Barbara. You can't complain.
Just living the dream, yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so Joe, take us back. I know you were born and raised in Santa Barbara. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so you spent a lot of years here, and you know this place better than most, I'd say.
That's right. Yeah, I have spent a lot of years here. Actually, my first 5 years were spent in Isla Vista on Trigo. You believe that? My parents were hippies having kids and running around Isla Vista, and I was one of the Isla Vista rats, just running the streets probably naked.
That's insane. I did not know that story. You were literally born in IV. And for those of you who don't know, Isla Vista is the town right adjacent to UCSB. And basically, there's a lot of shenanigans that go on in that town. It's kind of like the Wild West, like the law doesn't really get enforced.
Yeah, and actually, to set the record totally straight, I was actually born in Pomona. I know that doesn't sound very sexy, but about 3-4 months after I was born, my dad was a mailman, and he got a transfer. He had been trying for like 3 years before I was born to get a transfer to Santa Barbara out of Pomona. He finally got it right after I was born, so I didn't have the privilege of actually being born in Santa Barbara, but moved here shortly after my birth.
Wow, that's amazing. And so do you have any specific stories or kind of like iconic moments that really make you think, when you think of your childhood in Santa Barbara or in Isla Vista or anything, is there something that comes top of mind?
Not so much. I have a little snidbits of memory of Isla Vista,
yeah.
But I was pretty young. But some of my fondest memories were summertime as kids with the other kids in our neighborhood, some good friends. I remember always spending the day walking down to what we called the plunge. I lived over on the east side at the time, and the plunge is Los Baños pool down on the beach there. In the summertime, it turned into a community pool where it was like $1 or 75 cents or something, where you could go and spend the day at the pool. So we would just, you know, gather a squad of kids and make the trek down there and spend the day swimming, and it was just packed with kids. It was always a good time. I remember just coming home exhausted, and there was a pizza joint across the street called Sonny's Pizza, and we would like split a slice because the slices were huge. And, those are some good memories, and lots of good memories of going to the beach. My neighbor's uncle Chuck, he was an amazing waterman. I remember we'd always go to the beach, and I would just be in awe at watching him swim and body surf. And so he was, I think, probably the first person I look up to as like a waterman to kind of get me interested in the ocean and everything.
Yeah, totally. Because for those of you who don't know, Joe's a total waterman now. Surfs, body surfs, boats, does a little bit of everything when it comes to the ocean. So were you kind of instantly always attracted to the ocean, or that kind of developed?
It developed, honestly. Yeah. At first, I had the fear of the ocean. I remember as a kid being really intimidated by the ocean, and like my dad taking me out, and I'd be like clinging onto his back and just be like, you know, kind of really freaked out by the waves. And then something clicked in a YMCA camp out in the Channel Islands. And I remember we had a bodyboarding contest, and I was out there, and everyone went out, and all of a sudden I just finally, you know, got the courage to get out. And it was funny because I was scared, and so I didn't go all the way out, and I ended up staying right where the waves were breaking, like in the worst spot you could be. And so after just getting beat down there, I think I was like, okay, well, this isn't so bad. And then once I realized, oh, whenever you get out in the lineup and you're not in the impact zone, it's actually a lot better. Yeah. So that was, I think, where it kind of I turned the corner. And then from there, just really never looked back. Fell in love with the ocean, fell in love with surfing, and ended up spending, you know, after high school, my main focus in life beyond like getting some units done, I was kind of, you know, quasi focused on going to Santa Barbara City College, but more so kind of where's my next adventure going to be, you know? And so I was always eyeballing. My first adventure was a trip to Indonesia, but I was always interested in traveling to surf.
Yeah, I definitely want to get into your travels because I feel like I've kind of scratched the top layer, but people might look at you and see, you know, super successful, like he's got it all figured out, but you definitely did not take the traditional path of after graduation or after graduating high school, getting a standard degree and going right into the workforce. So I want to definitely talk about that. From what I know, your journey, so you went from high school and you just kind of took off without much plan, just knowing that you're going to score some good waves. What happened after high school?
Yeah. So after high school, oddly enough, like that right after high school, that summer, my dad moved out of the house. My mom and dad divorced when I was young. So I had the benefit of living in both their homes as I was growing up. I'd spend 2 weeks in one, 2 weeks in the other.
Yeah.
So I got to really know the town because I lived all over town growing up. But when I was a senior, my dad moved out and rented the house to me and a couple of friends.
Wow.
So immediately I was, you know, on my own, and I had a good friend that had just come back from a trip to Indonesia with stories and pictures and everything, and that planted the seed. That was like, okay, surf travel's where I want to be.
Yeah.
I was going to City College. I was really ambitious, taking on a huge load of classes, but, you know, without the discipline and the focus, would end up finishing like half the load that I took on.
Yeah.
So my schooling was stretched out, to say the least, because between that and then taking semesters off to go travel or whatnot, it took a little while to finally get buckled down and start cranking out school. But a good buddy of mine, Zach, came back from Indonesia with stories. That planted the seed. I went off and did an internship. They call it an internship, but it's really like running a little franchise. It's called Student Works Painting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like College Works Painting or something.
Totally.
And so I went off to, at the time I had a girlfriend in Covina. So I went and got a territory there, spent the summer, running the business, painting houses, learning that whole thing, which was awesome. It's been a great experience. It really, I think, was laid a solid foundation of a kind of a business mindset in me. And made some money and was able to get my ticket, to Indonesia. And, I maxed it out. You could stay 2 months without, getting, you know, I don't know what it was, something about a visa. I did a 2 month trip there and, just, you know, went all over 4 or 5 different islands. It was really bitching. And then came back home. And while I was over there, I ended up, meeting some guys that had been on an around the world ticket, and they just graduated from UCSB of all places. And they told me about this one island called Saipan off Guam and they met somebody who brought them to a resort there, and they ended up getting a job at this resort, kind of like a Club Med.
Yeah.
And so that ended up being my next adventure. I came home from Indonesia, took some more classes, and called this resort called Pacific Islands Club, and went through the interview process, and ended up getting hired, and flown out there to work for a year.
They paid for your flight?
Yeah, they wow. fly you out there, room and boards included. You work 6 days a week, and then you get one day off. And but it's, you know, you're working at the resort. You're parts of the sports, entertainment, activities division of the resort. So, mm-hmm. you know, I was on the beach staff. I was, you know, lifeguarding, taking people on snorkeling tours, teaching them how to windsurf, taking them out on the Hobie Cat in the
nice.
Bay.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. So, yeah, and that, you know, that adventure pretty much got, I think, most of the adventure bug out of me to where I could really focus. I came home and just grinded out the classes I needed to at City College in order to transfer to UCSB,
yeah.
Went straight into UCSB, and graduated in 1999. I graduated Santa Barbara High School in 1992, and I was really like, at some point, I'm like, I got to get done with college before the year 2000. It's just going to sound weird.
Yeah.
So I managed to pull it off, and then went on a 1 month trip to Costa Rica right after I graduated.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And so when you were abroad, did you miss the Central Coast or Santa Barbara at all? Or were you thinking you might never come back at certain points? Or you always knew that you'd come back to Santa Barbara specifically and hunker down a little bit?
Yeah. I think I always knew I'd be back. Yeah, I always missed it. I was always in pretty awesome places. So,
totally.
You know, but yeah, there was always things of home that you missed. And there's nothing like coming back home to Santa Barbara. No matter where you've been, it's some tropical, beautiful, idyllic place. Santa Barbara was just always such an awesome place to come home to.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So did you ever think that you would live in another state at any point in your life, or you knew that, or
no.
not in another state, you just knew Santa Barbara was your spot?
Ever considered living in
That's
another
so
place.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
At least not very seriously. Maybe when I was in high school and kind of thinking about, you know, I went through the whole route of actually applying for colleges and everything and got into a few, but ended up just pulling the plug on that idea and staying local and
totally.
Going to City College.
Yeah. And so did you ever consider, so obviously that travel definitely shaped kind of who you became and the free spirit maybe that you are today. And did you ever think you'd come home, finish college, and kind of get a more standard 9-to-5? Like, did you always know you were going to be an entrepreneur and kind of a self-made and be your own boss? Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I did, but it was hard. When I graduated college, my first job was selling cars at Mel Clayton Ford.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. And so I had a summer and a month or two of doing that. And it was just, it's a really brutal business in the sense that it's just taxing on the psyche. It's just not a healthy environment, I didn't feel like. And and a lot of hours and just standing around and it's real sharky. It's just, I don't know. I didn't like the vibe at all. But it was a good kind of, it was like taking a course in sales almost, you know,
because
you know, I had some good managers that taught me some stuff and everything, and just, you know, interacting with people and fostering the whole sales process, learning that. So I got out of that, and then I did start working in, as an outside sales rep for a few different businesses where it's commission-based only income. And that was kind of my entrepreneurial spirit coming out. You know, it's like, you're not making a check unless you make a sale.
Totally.
And I was starving. I wasn't, you know, I did, I did print services. I did accounts receivable software services to manage accounts receivable for businesses. And I think after those two and not making a ton of money and just not digging it, I ended up buckling down and getting a 9-to-5. And I worked for a year out in Carpinteria at a company called Forms and Surfaces Inside Sales. And I did that for a good year. And then I got called into the owner's office, and she said, you know what, we have an outside sales position for you in Pittsburgh, or I've got to let you go. And I was like, well, I'm not moving to Pittsburgh, so I guess I'm getting let go. And so she was kind enough to give me a severance of 60 days. So I, you know, called a mentor, kind of a friend of mine, and he's like, dude, what are you messing around for? Go get your real estate license.
Wow.
And so I got my my course through Allied Business School, started studying, taking all the tests, the the principal's exam and then got my test date and got my license. And I actually went back to waiting tables right after I graduated high school. I had quit like a good solid 8 or 9 years of restaurant industry. I'd always been doing restaurants when I was in school. And so, and it felt really good to break away because you kind of wonder, are you going to be a lifer whenever you've done restaurants that long? And and then it was kind of like, you know, eating some humble pie to go back into waiting tables. But I had to do that to, you know, because you don't make money in real estate. You just spend money at the beginning and you work a lot. So I was working nights after working all day doing real estate. And I only had to keep that waiting job for about 4 or 5 months and then got my first sale and then another one and clipped it and just went full time real estate and didn't look back.
That's amazing. And is there like a specific failure that like maybe at the time it felt like your world might be on upside down and it might like you might not make it out, but then now looking back on it, you like that's failure really set me up to who I am today in terms of jobs or?
Well, you know, it's got to be. I mean, it was a horrible day, the day that I got laid off from Forums and Surfaces.
Yeah.
But again, that was the catalyst that sprung me into taking the route towards real estate. So, you know, it definitely, that's the classic scenario of where something that on the surface at the time seems like a bad situation, but then you look back was the catalyst for something good.
Blessing in disguise. You think you might have stayed there for a good while if then that didn't happen. It wasn't your thing anyways.
I don't think so. I think eventually, like, I think the writing was on the wall. Like, you know, the owner noticed that I was, you know, getting a little bit edgy and antsy to be, you know, 9 to 5 in it. So I think eventually it just probably, unless they would have given me some kind of territory in California where I could continue to live in Santa Barbara and then move to the outside sales world there, that probably would have worked and I maybe would have stuck around.
Yeah, that's awesome. So now I'm getting to some specific like Santa Barbara questions and stuff like that. And I'm interested to hear your opinion, your take on a couple of these. So the first one is, like, what have you noticed and what change have you seen in Santa Barbara growing up here throughout the years? And what is the kind of the vibe and has it stayed the same? Or have you seen like maybe in the last, you know, 20 years or so, how's the city and the town changed to you?
You know, it's just it's grown a lot. There's been a lot more development or redevelopment of places that have, you know, kind of add to the density. A lot of it's been really nice. I mean, it's not to say that all the new development, everything's bad, because, you know, Santa Barbara is really strict about people building, and they really scrutinize the way it looks and the way it sits in the community, and they're looking at everything. So, but without a doubt, it's obviously grown a lot. I mean, when I was a kid, the freeway used to have stoplights and State Street didn't go underneath it.
Really?
You know, the lower State Street area was, you know, just like the really seedy, crazy area town. And so then that all changed. There used to be over at where Paseo Nuevo is now, a mall called Piccadilly Square. And so that got blown out in Paseo Nuevo. So that was kind of the beginning, I think, of the transition of the older Santa Barbara that I knew into the newer Santa Barbara that we see today. And then they did the underpass under the freeway and everything. So, you know, it's gotten more congested. There's more people and everything, but not, I think, as much as other places in the same amount of time. I mean, Santa Barbara is unique that there's almost so much space. You know, we got the mountains, the ocean, we got big open space, you know, on either side when you head north or south. So we don't have much area to sprawl. So we are getting, I think there is definitely more congestion. You see a lot of that, but at the same time, it preserves its small town vibe, I think, better than most places has that, you know, that every place has gone through the same kind of growth.
Yeah.
So, and then, I think it's just gotten a bit more, you know, it's a destination spot and it's the place where people with means anywhere in the world and they want to be in the nicest places, you know, this is making the short list.
For sure.
So, that dynamic of the place, I think, drives the unaffordability factor. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the biggest change is just the affordability factor. I wasn't plugged into how affordable it was. I just hear stories about what it was cause I was a kid, but, you know, just knowing that how much it's skyrocketed as far as expense goes, that's a big change.
Totally. And so How do you ever have to explain what Santa Barbara's like to people that have never been here, or maybe friends of friends that are interested in moving or interested in checking it out? And like, how do you explain what Santa Barbara's like when people are like, oh, is it like LA or is it like San Francisco? Like, how do you explain it to people that don't really know what it's like?
That's a good question. It's kind of, I don't have like a canned explanation for it, but yeah. You know, what I would say to somebody if I was trying to explain it to them is that, you know, it's kind of like a little island oasis of a community that's, you know, just incredibly charming with a lot of character, a lot of soul, and just, beyond picturesque. You know, it's just, there's so many unique little angles and views that you pick up that incorporate the landscape, the architecture, all over town. And, it really does keep a magic little vibe about the place. And the fact that it's a finite amount of space that's mm-hmm. not expandable, is very unique. I just don't think that there's many places in the world that, have that combination of just being, you know, so uniquely geographically kind of confined to sprawl.
Yeah. You know, that's a great way to describe it. Yeah. A lot of my friends, you know, who are from Colorado, the people I grew up with, who haven't been here, you know, it's easy to look at the kind of the like California generalization or look at the big cities, but like I describe it that like honestly Santa Barbara is really nothing like LA and nothing mm-hmm. like San Francisco, and the vibe here is like people are really down to earth and they care a lot about the environment, and a lot of people just have a lot of values that like kind of intertwine everyone, no matter where they're from, no matter their background. Or I feel like a lot of people were able to come together here for our love of the ocean, for our love of the mountains, for our love of being outdoors. And people aren't going to spend as much money on maybe a nice flashy car. They'd rather have a great surfboard and, you know, a great time with their friends instead of maybe the more city-like, I don't know, feel. So
right. Yeah. There's definitely that. It's this unique blend of Northern California meets Southern California mm-hmm. to create its own kind of vibe. That's not really particular to either, yeah. but it's like an interesting little blend, unique little hybrid of the two.
Yeah, that's exactly how I describe it. And so being a Santa Barbara expert as you are, what are some of your favorite local spots? You don't have to share your secret surf spots, but for someone that's, you know, not as local as you are, or maybe want to try out new spots, where do you like to tell people to go if they really want to get the Santa Barbara experience?
For surfing or for what? For just
for everything, your favorite spots, just a couple of your favorite spots.
Geez, I really, you know, I know it's kind of touristy and everything, but I love the waterfront down by, you know, Stearns Wharf. You yeah. can't get a better view. I really enjoy, you know, just hanging out on any of those patios or those restaurants where, you know, you could watch the boats leave the harbor. You know, you got the views of the mountains on the other side. There's you know, just lots going on out there. The harbor, you know, Brophy Brothers, those mm-hmm. places, just really great. Some local spots I like. I really like to hike some of the trails, you know, like Cold Springs Trail, and I really like to get out on Moore Mesa. It's not too far from my house, and it's a like 260 acres of open space. Mm-hmm. It's great biking, great hiking, and a really cool, you know, kind of isolated beach at the end of the trail, kind of some makeshift steps that have been there forever that you could hike down to get down into the to the water, down onto the beach. So that's a really cool spot. And I also really like Lizard's Mouth up back up at the top of the mountains. There's some great views and great hiking totally. And some really cool kind of moonscape like terrain up there. So that's just like a great kind of all hitting all the sweet spots of Santa Barbara, you know, with those types of things.
Yeah, totally. You got great spots and you know this place better than most. So transitioning on to I wanted to make sure that every episode of this podcast is definitely going to have an environmental focus, being a super avid environmentalist myself, and I want to make sure the people I bring on also share that. And I know that you've done so much different type of community work and in a lot of environmental work as well. And so my question to start off is kind of what sparked you into, you know, gaining traction with the environmental movement? A lot of people say that the environmental movement kind of started. And I know the first Earth Day ever came out of Santa Barbara and the end of the 60s from an oil spill. Is that correct?
That's right.
So were you kind of just surrounded with that since you were young, or what kind of brought you into being an environmentalist?
Yeah, I think the culture here is definitely circles around that. And Earth Day starting here is something that I think is embedded in the community. That whole vibe is definitely a part of the community. So that has had a play in it. My parents were both, really kind of, I think, environmentally conscious, kind of the hippie vibe. So then that rubbed off on me. And then once I started having kids, I got two daughters, and thinking about the world you're living, leaving the children, is a great motivator to try to think about what you could do, how you could improve your choices day in and day out, and improve your habits that line up better with the environment.
For sure. And so are there any specific environmental issues that you see us facing right here in Santa Barbara and the Central Coast? And what have you've seen been done, or what have you been working on, or stuff like that? Like, what problems do you see, and do you see like solutions to being able to fix those problems, both locally and on like a global level? I know it's a tough question, a deep question, but
yeah, I think locally, maybe the biggest one we're facing is what started the whole Earth Day movement is oil.
Yeah,
we had the pipeline break up near Gaviota, which was a huge disaster, and that was another reminder of, hey, this oil's in our backyard, and it's not a perfect science. If it's there, there's going to be accidents. It's just a matter of time. And so I think that's probably, and now with the current political environment with some of the, it seems like we're kind of having a pivot in direction, maybe away from the gains we were making. And so that, I think, can ultimately come in to have an impact on Santa Barbara, being that we have oil here. If those things get loosened up and that becomes more accessible again, if they're able to lease offshore to oil companies and we get more rigs out there, that would be a huge disaster. I know that they're trying to get permits, and they may even already started to truck the oil since the pipeline hasn't been repaired that burst.
Really?
And so it's a matter of, thousands of trucks filling up with oil and going, not so much if the trucks leave, it's not so much of a big risk here once the truck leaves, but then, you've got thousands more trucks full of oil traveling the freeways, and it's just a matter of time before there's accidents.
Totally.
So that's probably one of the biggest ones. I think Santa Barbara's kind of on the cutting edge of really trying to get the community around changing habits towards better environmental choices, and just kind of bringing that awareness of. I love getting involved with beach cleanup days, because who doesn't love just being down on the beach and it feels good to pick up some trash and be a part of a community event where everyone's just really fired up and stoked and doing good things. So those are always fun too.
Yeah, totally. And is there any specific organizations or groups that if people want to get involved with this kind of work, or involved with work that groups that you've worked with before, is there any favorites that you really like?
I like Surfrider Foundation. I think they do a great job of really just trying to focus on protecting the ocean. And then on the oil front, get oil out.
Yeah.
Is I think that they are going to be probably become more prominent as we get closer to having to have some decisions made whether or not there could be more oil development in the area. Those ones are really good. And but I support organizations like the bigger national ones like Greenpeace, stuff like that. That they've got their hands in a lot of different pots and really just trying to push that agenda of being more earth conscious and making good choices.
Totally. The last part of the environmentalism kind of section I want to talk about. So for those of you who don't live here, or maybe didn't see it on the national news, it was almost a year ago or a little bit less, 9 months ago, that there was basically big fires in the Montecito region, which is a little bit south of Santa Barbara. And then that quickly turned to kind of insane amounts of rain. And because of the fires that had uprooted the soil, and the rain led to a massive amount of mudslides through this community, and people died, and homes were just destroyed. And I know that you were kind of on the ground floor, obviously being in real estate. You kind of were witnessing and being there firsthand, but you didn't just kind of sit there as a bystander. You jumped right in and got really active. I was actually in Australia, so I wasn't able to help as much as I would like, but it was really cool to come back and talk to you about those stories and look at all these people who you helped and all these organizations you helped out, then really raise awareness, being the real estate, the home guy, and not just looking at it as, oh, it's an opportunity to maybe get people new houses, but let's actually help these people. So yeah, tell me about what that was like for you and that kind of whole crazy experience.
Yeah, it was pretty dramatic. You know, it kind of started with people I was close with posting GoFundMe pages because they were directly affected. And so it kind of started off with, you know, just trying to do as much as I can to support the people in need. And then other really active, awesome community citizens started putting together groups like the SB Support Network. And that was just awesome. So furthering their message, they're really, you know, the true heroes. I'm really insignificant compared to what they were doing. But just they and their efforts were motivating me to, you know, support whenever they were calling out for help. I started coming up with more creative ideas on how I could get awareness out there for their cause. So it kind of geared towards, you know, these people are really doing the heavy lifting. Maybe I could just kind of direct energy towards them, you know, use my reach and my influence to do that. And one of the more successful things that I did was Katy Perry did a concert in town. And I ended up getting tickets for my family, and I got a couple extra for an auction that I did online. And then we were forwarding all the proceeds over to the Santa Barbara Support Network, SB Support Network. And their whole agenda was to just, you know, collect supplies, money, gift certificates, and then it was total grassroots, directly just deliver those right to people in need. So, you know, a family that's impacted could sign up and say, you know what, I need a car, I need gift certificates, I need clothes, I need shoes, whatever it is, and they just take care of their wish list and get them stuff. So that auction did really well. I think we raised like, I don't know, like $700 or something, $800. It's not a lot, but, you know, something that went all of it 100% right to the SB Support Network.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I feel like there's people out there that have just done so much more. You know, I dabbled in helping.
Yeah. Well, it was awesome that you did. And I think it was really cool to see. Obviously, I didn't see it quite as firsthand, but it just looked like the community completely rallied. And just from day one, everyone was there to help each other out. And I mean, you can see that a lot in times of crisis, but it was interesting how it's just kind of, it all comes full circle from being a place with oil and then the temperatures heating up. And now we even have right now massive fires. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of, I felt like that event put into perspective how it's like really starting to affect us. And of course we talk about climate change all the time, but you don't really necessarily always see its direct effects because it's such small change, but it's really starting to come in. And I think that event will hopefully like let people know that, you know, no one's safe, no matter if you, Montecito obviously is a very protected and, you know, these people have on average pretty big houses, but it just shows that, you know, Mother Nature is in control and how we have to protect to
That's
work
right.
for this planet.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely does not, you know, draw any lines of class or anything. It's just, you know what? You're insignificant as a human compared to Mother Nature. And if she's pissed and is going to do her thing, then, you know, we're all vulnerable.
Yeah. Well, awesome, Joe. That's all the questions I had. Is there any closing remarks or anyone you want to give a shout out to? Or
No, closing remarks, you know, shout out to, I've got daughters, Ashley and Caitlin, my wife, Adele. They're an awesome family, great support, my motivation. And thank you, Avi. I appreciate you being your first guest. I know
totally.
You're going to be a huge success.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And how can people reach out to you if they want to either learn about how they can help in the community, help environmentally, or learn about real estate or any of the projects that you're working on? What's the best way to reach out to you?
I would say you could check out my team at Berkshire Hathaway is called the Santa Barbara Group. So if you search the Santa Barbara Group or our website, thesantabarbaragroup.com, all our contact information is there, and lots of community interest. We do a lot of kind of blogging or vlogging on there. You see the news and info tab on our website is full of stuff about the community. We review restaurants and local businesses, community events, and then all kinds of stuff related to the real estate industry and what's happening in the market. So anything you want to know about the community, about neighborhoods, about the market, about buying or selling real estate, you can find some great insights there. And then obviously my contact information's there. My cell phone's the best way to reach me. It's on there, so they can reach out to me anytime.
Awesome. Well, I bet. I hope your inbox just gets flooded with people. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, awesome, Joe. I really appreciate you taking the time, and obviously we'll be in touch.
All right, yeah. Thanks, Avi.
Awesome. Take care.
Thanks.
Hey guys, it's Avi again. Thank you so much for listening into that very first episode. I really hope you guys were entertained or maybe learned something or just enjoyed the stories. Joe's a really cool guy and really privileged to have him as a friend and a mentor. And I really hope you guys got something out of this podcast. If you would like to be on the podcast or you know someone who could be on this podcast, the best way to reach me is at the email avi.becker3@gmail.com. I'll also be having this podcast up on Facebook and YouTube and other channels, and I'd love to hear from you guys about what you thought, what I could do better. Definitely, it's my first episode, so I know that it's not the most polished podcast out there yet, but I'm coming for you, Joe Rogan. So Tim Ferriss too, watch out. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and I hope this podcast brought some value. I'll be hearing from you soon, and you'll be hearing the next episode hopefully soon as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day, guys. Take care. Bye.